Here we go. All right, welcome to the Patriot Podcast. I'm Sean, he's JJ.
Hello.
Super Bowl edition. Hello.
It's Super Bowl week, baby. Woo!
52. Man, I'm losing track of these Super Bowls. 52, we're in 51 and 49 and 39, 36, 38. God dang it.
It's quite amazing.
Yeah. Notice how I didn't put in any of the Super Bowls that they lost.
Yeah.
In that little rundown there. Those things get casually swept under the rug. And let's hope that doesn't happen to Super Bowl 52 right now.
It shouldn't.
Man, it's been... What do we do? We did a podcast about a week ago, and we didn't want to delve too much into this game. But ever since then, my excitement level keeps rising and rising.
It's just crazy, the culmination of a season. Once again, we're in the Super Bowl. Like, of all the ups and downs, here we are. They've met up expectations and got there again. Crazy.
I know, and after the start of the season, when we didn't expect them to be able to do anything.
Yeah, we didn't know what they could do.
Defense was in the tank. Edelman was missing. The whole operation wasn't working well. And everyone before the season is talking 19-0. And then after the first game of the season, after the first month of the season, really, everyone's saying, is this over? And once again, right back in the promised land, going to the Super Bowl as favorites. What are 4.5-point favorites, I think?
It was 5.5. It started, opened at 5.5, and I think it's gone all the way down to 4.
Good. Keep creeping down. Keep putting money on the Eagles.
Yeah.
Do it. I definitely would.
What do you mean?
I feel like it's going to be a close game. I feel like it's going to be a 3-point game. Maybe 4.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
This is the most. 5.5 was the largest spread there's ever been in the Super Bowl. So
that's bullshit.
I think so. You sure?
No. I'm so positive.
I don't know. So I heard people saying that.
Dude, the Giants in 2007 were 14-point underdogs.
In the Super Bowl?
In the Super Bowl. That's why it was such a big upset. The Patriots in 2001 against the Rams, also 14-point underdogs.
Oh.
Yeah. No, it's the biggest Super Bowl spread since 2009, which is when Saints upended Peyton Manning and just like one of the best quarterback seasons ever, Peyton Manning 2009 with the Colts. So, yeah.
All right. Sorry about that.
Yeah, way off. It's okay, but every game since 2009 has been, at least in Vegas, viewed as closer than this one.
Okay, all right. That's what it was.
And there have been a lot of freaking good ones. Talking about, we talked about it on the podcast before, how many number one seeds have made the Super Bowl in like the last 5 years. It seems like damn near every one of them.
Yeah.
And we're going into this game, and the only real reason that the Eagles aren't viewed as a number one seed is they're missing their best player, quarterback.
Yep. Good old Carson Wentz.
But to nobody's surprise, and I know I'm mulching over old ground, but hey, we haven't talked about it on the podcast yet. Nick Foles played like a goddamn superstar in that NFC Championship game. But there was some stat line like over 300 yards, 4 touchdowns, no turnover, something like that. Yeah, but the only quarterbacks to do that in a conference championship game were like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and Matt Ryan or something.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a short list. I went back and watched the highlights. I know I watched the game live, obviously, like everyone probably did, but the highlights really didn't make them look as good as the game did.
I was waiting for you to say that. Yep.
It didn't.
No, it was, I mean, I've been thinking about that game a lot because everyone's talking about the Philadelphia Eagles and how great they are, and I know they definitely have a lot of talent. They're, you know, top-ranked defense, top five defense and offense, no doubt. It really was the Minnesota lost the game more than I think the Eagles won it. I mean, obviously they blew them out, but the Minnesota looked terrible.
They did. I don't exactly view it that way. I think that the Eagles made big plays.
Because the Vikings were so out of position.
Yeah, yeah, you could definitely look at it that way.
That's like, how I feel. Like,
a perfect one to take into account is the Alshon Jeffrey like 60-yard touchdown right
before
half.
That's what I was just going to say. There was no one near him.
There was nobody near him, but Nick Foles was being grabbed by two different guys in the pocket. He escapes, finds a guy 60 yards downfield, and puts the ball exactly where it needs to be.
True.
So it goes both ways. Yeah, the Vikings fucked up, but he made them pay. And the same thing goes for the strip sack that made that possible. Vikings are going in to try to score a touchdown. They're in the red area, I think. Derek Barnett is blitzing off the offense's left edge, and they send a tight end from like, I don't know if he was lining up behind the guard or something, but they send the tight end from the inside to try to pick up a premier edge rusher. Premier, he was a first round pick this year, and try to pick him up, and he can't do anything. The angle was terrible. The player chosen to pick him up was terrible. But then he made a strip sack, and Chris Long picks it up.
Yeah.
So it's like a boat. Yeah, the Vikings screwed up, but the Eagles made a good play.
I mean, the Eagles are, don't get me wrong, they're a really good team, obviously, but it's just, you know, it's like the same thing I was saying kind of about the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Jags did definitely show up in that game, but it's almost like nobody gave the Eagles a chance against Minnesota or really Atlanta. I mean, they gave them a chance against Atlanta, but everyone was like, oh, it's Minnesota's to lose. And Minnesota was clearly, it seemed to me at least, it was obvious that they were like, we're going to play the first home game Super Bowl. Isn't that great? We don't even have to do anything. We have to go to beat the Eagles. They don't have a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do anything. We don't have to figure out a game plan or anything that's going to really, you know, obviously they figured out a game plan and, you know, but they didn't execute. I mean, they're supposed to have the best secondary in the league, and they got torched by a backup quarterback. Torched.
Yeah. Yes.
Nick Foles threw three touchdowns in this game. He hasn't thrown any other touchdowns. He didn't throw any touchdowns in the Atlanta game.
Yeah,
they or at least I don't think he did.
They didn't score any touchdowns.
And it's, and then, I mean, you look at how he played the weeks leading up to it. Not great. They got shut out against Dallas. They got scored 19 against Oakland, and they barely beat the Giants. When did Wentz go down?
He went down in the game against the Rams.
The Rams. Okay, so his first game, they did somehow score, which I got to look into. But
they were down big in that game. They didn't score until pretty late against the Giants. Mm-hmm. That December game against the Giants. Yeah. The thing for Foles was, upon further review, what I was seeing were, yeah, there was that Alshon Jeffrey play was a really good play. He also hit, I think, Nelson Aguilar on a play in the third or fourth quarter when they were already up, like, mm-hmm. at least 25 points, where he escaped the pocket to his right, throws a nice ball down the right sideline. He gets some yak yards. It was a perfect play. And really, outside those two plays, I didn't see him move on from his first read. And granted, yeah, I was watching the highlights, so I wasn't watching all the other plays where, you know, he had to go through his progressions. Maybe some of those aren't the most productive plays.
Mm-hmm.
But everything that was working, it seemed like, was just like you do a little play action fake, you hit the slant on the backside. We've seen Tom Brady do it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, well, I'm going to drop back, and then I throw a screen to the left to Jay Ajayi, and he does all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just play after play like that. Overwhelming that they were just, it was really the coaches that were doing it. It wasn't Nick Foles.
Yeah.
Now, Nick Foles is a physically capable quarterback. He's gigantic. He can stand in the pocket. He's got a cannon. He can make the throws. Now, his accuracy has been a question mark in the past. Sometimes he throws wild ducks. Sometimes they get real bad.
Mm-hmm.
You can think about that knee ball he threw in the Falcons game. But the coaches did a great job in the Vikings game, and I would expect them to do a great job against us, too.
Yeah, no, they've definitely called great game plans. I mean, they did that against Atlanta. They did it, obviously, against Minnesota.
Now, whether that's going to be enough
is the question.
Difference. Yeah.
I mean, Nick Foles is a backup quarterback. I don't care what anyone says about the guy. Yeah, he had a good game. He played. He had a couple good plays. He lit up a Vikings team who didn't show up. But, I mean, this is a backup quarterback. There is
what about
so
2013,
many...
man? What about 2013?
Yeah, exactly. What happened? Why, where is he?
I know, I mean, right?
You know, there's so many there was so many quarterbacking vacancies this year. Teams looking for legit cornerbacks, and he never got that shot. So say what you want about the guy, he's a backup. And I'll be damned if Bill Belichick loses to a backup. I mean, you know what I mean? I don't know how that's even possible. Obviously, they've got some, it's, you know, everyone's saying, well, it's not just the quarterback, it's the roster, it's the coaching. And I do get that. And they have a hell of a roster. But I don't think they're going to do enough to win. And I think we can score some points against this team.
Yeah, well, the big matchup is the Eagles defense, the Patriots offense, strength on strength.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the difference really becomes between the Eagles offense and the Patriots defense. And I'm not breaking new ground here by suggesting this. The Patriots defense is not the team we saw in September. They are gaining ground steadily. They didn't play that great against the Jaguars, to be honest. They really didn't.
No.
But I've been looking at the players and the Eagles and thinking about it, and I really think we match up pretty darn well defensively.
Yeah.
Like, look at it. Their best receiver is Zach Ertz, arguably.
Which is a tight end.
Tight end. And Patrick Chung is among the top three tight end killers in the NFL.
Yeah. If I mean, last week, that was part of the reason that I feel like the defense didn't look that great last week. Chung got what looked to be a concussion in probably the first five plays and wasn't himself for the first half.
Yeah, but true to Chung form, he was dominant in the second half.
Exactly.
It's incredible.
So as long as he shows up and doesn't get his bell rung immediately.
Yeah, I feel very good about Chung on Ertz.
I do too.
And then you got Alshon Jeffrey is their other real big play guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or real, you know, reliable player in the passing game. I think Stephon Gilmore looks really good against Alshon Jeffrey. It's not going to be a perfect shutdown thing. I think there's going to be some help there.
Well, Alshon hasn't had a great season either.
No, but he's had a good playoffs.
He's had a good playoffs. I mean, we've played Alshon when he was on the Bears. They really didn't have much of a quarterback. They did have Jay Cutler for a few years there, and we played them once or twice, and he could never do anything against us.
That was only once, but yeah.
Was it once? We blew him out of the water. I mean, I think Gilmore matches up nicely against him.
I think Gilmore's fine there, and then you're able to put Butler on either Torrey Smith or Nelson Agholor. I would lean towards Agholor. He's more of a shifty, speedy guy.
Definitely go towards Agholor, yep.
And then you got Eric Rowe or Devin McCourty if you want to play a bigger set. One of those guys on Torrey Smith.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel fine about that. Torrey Smith has been a bit of a Patriot killer in the past. He's been a thorn in our back in his Raven days.
Raven days, yeah.
Yeah, he was. Well, just the Ravens had our number back then.
That's when Joe Flacco was tearing it up, too.
Hey, Joe Flacco loves Foxborough. He loves it there.
Yeah.
Just those matchups right there, and then you can have either McCourty playing deep middle or you got Daron Harmon playing deep middle. I feel fine about that. Fine.
Completely fine.
And then
their offensive line is pretty damn good.
Well, I was going to say that Nick Foles is not a runner. Right. You don't have to worry about him the same way you would Carson Wentz.
No.
He's not running on you. He's going to be, you know exactly where to find him.
Wasn't he slow as shit?
Yeah, he ran like a 5.140. Like he and Tom Brady are neck and neck for the slowest 40s from quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And you can tell I've been doing my research. And by the way, Alshon Jeffrey had like 80 yards in that game against the Patriots.
Did he?
Oh, yeah. Bennett crushed it. I was looking at the stats. Marty Bennett had like 97 yards.
That was garbage time, though, when he
It was garbage time because Gronk went off in that game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Nick Foles is slow as shit, so we don't have to worry about him running, so we don't have to collapse the pocket. Like I said, he's a first-read quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The priority does not have to be collapse the pocket or contain him in the pocket.
Yeah, no contained rush, just get him.
So and then we just mentioned the matchups that we have on the outside. We feel comfortable about those. We feel fine with Nick Foles in the pocket. Then you're able to use some resources elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Like, you're not devoting too much to either of those two tasks. So now, where do you use your extra resources? These are talking about scheme adjustments, extra players, you know, maybe putting a player on the field who doesn't do multiple things but is really good at one thing. I'm thinking, stuff the run.
Yep.
That's it. You put fatties in there sometimes. Or the other task that I really wanted to nail down is don't let them throw to the running backs. That's a goddamn crutch for a backup quarterback. That's an easy throw. It's predetermined. You can make that throw. Just don't let them do that. Get all over those guys.
I do agree with you there, but the one problem I have with that solution is the guy we usually put on the field for that is Jordan Richards, and I don't want him on the field.
I don't want him on the field either. I want Van Noy and, I don't know, sneak McCourty up there.
I was just going to say that. Keep Harmon deep and have McCourty either play, you know, have him be the jack of all trades. Have him come in the box if he needs to. Have him go deep if he need to. And you're pretty good. I mean, I'm not too worried. They have a good offensive line, as I mentioned. They basically, Jason Peters, best left tackle in the league, is out. And they have, not even going to attempt that name.
Vaitai. Vaitai is his name.
Vaitai?
Yeah, Vaitai.
Okay, I'll keep it at that.
You don't have to look at that first name.
Yeah, right. Jason Kelce is one of the best centers in the league. Brandon Brooks is a good guard. Lane Johnson is a really good right tackle. I don't really know much about Wisniewski.
Steven Wisniewski. He was a second round pick out of Penn State for the Raiders. Didn't really work out for them, but he's got all the talent you would want.
Yeah, and apparently they work very well together is what I've been reading about.
Kelce, Brooks, and Lane Johnson are three of the best of their position in the league.
Yeah. Exactly.
The only weakness would be on the left side. Backup left tackle, as you mentioned, Wisniewski, not the most athletic left guard.
And then running the ball, we have good old LeGarrette, who we're very familiar with. He had a pretty good season. He's not someone that scares me.
He's their short yardage back at this point.
Yeah, he's their short. It doesn't scare me.
Scares me in short yardage.
Nah, whatever.
I think he's going for it on fourth and one a lot.
He's going to fumble.
Ooh. We got a prediction.
He's going to fumble.
Should we get some like prediction bells going here?
Yeah. He fumbled in the Super Bowl last year for us. I can see it happening. Corey Clement is the guy out of the backfield that they throw to.
They've been throwing to Ajayi a lot lately, too.
I don't know how. How does Ajayi even catch the ball?
Well, they just throw little screens huge? In the flat. No, he's not huge. Get the heck out of here.
Isn't he enormous? I always thought Ajayi was a big power back.
He's 220.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I always thought he was a big guy.
That's a pretty big guy.
I mean, I guess, not compared to Blount. Yeah. I thought he was close to Blount size.
Oh no. I've never been a Ajayi fan. I always feel like there's nothing special about him.
No, I don't think so either.
He brings some energy, but that's about it.
And talking about he's had 6 receptions for 70 yards
on the season in the postseason been thrown.
In the postseason. No, this is I think I'm looking at postseason stats, yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's in 2 games. That's pretty good.
It's not bad. Yeah. 127 yards rushing, pretty good, but only 3.8 yards per average. They've been averaging between him and Blount less than 4 yards carry. So,
yeah. This is a good time to bring up the curse that I've been putting out there, the jinxes as you've been calling them.
Yeah.
Corey Clement is the guy that I have in this game. I think Corey Clement's going to be a thorn in our side. I think he's going to be an issue.
Well, if he's the one that they let get us, I doubt that guy can beat us, so.
I think he's a rookie too, but he's got some decent size. He's like a bigger James White that doesn't catch the ball quite as well.
Okay.
That's what he reminds me of. He's just a little bit slippery, catches the ball nice out of the backfield, and he's got a little bit more power than James does.
Yeah. I mean, I've been hearing people say that they think that the Eagles have more talent on offense than us. I mean, I don't really see it. They got definitely some good pieces there. They're solid everywhere, I guess is a good way to put it. But I don't think anyone on that offense is amazing. Maybe Ertz.
Ertz is really good, but we got Gronk.
Right. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey is not what he used to be.
Alshon Jeffrey just got paid, man. They think he's the number one material.
Yeah, well, I don't think he is anymore.
I think he's crafty. Definitely crafty. What are you talking about? He's like 27.
Is he that young?
Yeah. He just got off his rookie deal. He's been in the league 5 years.
You're right. He is exactly 27.
Boom, sauce.
Well, he's almost going to be 28 by the game, but that doesn't matter.
Oh, no! He's going to fall off a cliff.
I feel like Torrey Smith is way past his prime.
Oh, he absolutely is.
And Nelson Agholor is kind of an underachiever.
Well, he's getting it back. He's got talent. He's got talent. He's just trying to recover from the Chip Kelly disease.
He never had a good season.
This was his best year, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
How'd he do?
768 for ATDs. Not bad.
Ooh, that's pretty damn good. What are you talking about?
That's like number 3 receiver on the Patriots offense. Maybe.
Yeah, it is. And what do you think he is on their offense?
Number 2?
No, he's their number 3, Zach Ertz.
Yeah, I'm talking about
I know you are. But you're also talking about like record-setting offenses. Not every offense has 2,000-yard wide receivers.
This is true.
They have a ton of talent. And if you add Jason Peters to that offensive line, that's one of the best groups in the NFL, bar none. Or, top 3.
Sure.
Top 3, guaranteed. And, yeah, they got a solid, one of the better tight ends in the league. They got pretty good depth of receiver. We just mentioned like 4 or 5 running backs they have. We didn't even talk about Kenyon Barner, who played really well for the Eagles against the Patriots 2 years ago when they beat us in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
They're missing Darren Sproles also offensively. Their backup guard is Chance Warmack, who was like...
I do recognize that name.
Chance Warmack was one of the best guard prospects ever coming out of Alabama. The guy's I called him a rhino. He's a beast. Their backup left tackle was Will Beatty, who started for years for the Giants at left tackle. Mm-hmm. They got depth on top of this. At tight end, after Zach Ertz comes Brent Celek, who's been there forever. They got Trey Burton, solid, who plays a lot. He plays fullback. He gets out of the backfield. He catches the ball. He's a good athlete. They do have a ton of talent offensively. And if you look at the whole scope of this team, they might have the most talented roster in the league.
Maybe.
They're right there.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's Foles that doesn't scare me. I don't know. I'm just really not too worried about this offense.
Yeah, neither am I. And I'm trying to talk myself into being scared. And really, all I have is that Foles could hit a bunch of deep balls. Yeah, he's shown the ability to hit deep balls.
And if you put a deep safety back there, that should negate the whole thing.
No.
Yeah.
No, because coverages get blown, and you can send two guys up the sideline, and you can't cover both sidelines.
Okay.
One guy can't cover both sidelines.
But I mean,
that being said, that's a risk I'm willing to take.
Yeah, that's a rarity to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And this goes back to like the overarching theme of how I think we should play this game. I think we need to possess the ball. I think we need to keep their defense on the field. And
yes. Well, that's exactly what they're going to try and go against. They're going to be like, we need to possess the ball and we need to run it. We need to keep it out of Tom Brady's hands.
Yeah, exactly. So that's going to be the battle.
Yeah.
Which means we got to add extra resources to preventing them from establishing the running game, which is going to leave us pretty lean on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're hitting big plays, they're not possessing the ball very long. Now, you can weigh that against, they'll probably get points out of big plays.
Mm-hmm.
But do you want to give up the possibility of a big play versus the certainty of them possessing the ball?
Well, that's kind of why you throw Mike McCourty, be that jack of all trades. I know he's not big, but he's been pretty stout against the run this year.
He's a really good tackler. Solid.
So if you can throw him, have him be the guy, well, if you need an extra guy deep, if you need to cover a running back, if you need to more run support, there's your guy. Or maybe Chung, but I'd keep Chung on the tight end.
Chung on the tight end. He's going to be in the box anyway, so he's going to be able to play the run.
Right.
But he'll just have to cover a tight end instead of cover a running back. You know?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we both feel pretty good about the Pats' defense against their offense. Now,
which is surprising because our defense isn't great, but we
it's
do
not
match,
great.
But we do match up against them well.
Yeah, for whatever reason, it seems like this isn't the worst draw we could have gotten.
Right.
Now, our offense against their defense is a slightly different story. Their defense is the best part of their team, despite the fact that some of the numbers would say their offense is off the charts. Were they number one in scoring?
Oh.
No, they were number three in scoring, number seven in total offense. But so much of that came with Carson Wentz.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That it's comparing apples and oranges, really.
Mm-hmm.
And their defense is the strong part, and they're loaded, and most of their talent really is in the defensive line. They play eight deep, and at least six of them are borderline star level players.
I don't know about that.
All right, I don't know about that, but they are
starters. I'd say six of them could be starters.
I would say six of them are significantly above average.
Maybe. My goodness. Maybe.
Okay. All right. I'll go with that. Maybe. Let me just run this down. Timmy Jernigan is their number two defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Timmy Jernigan was from Florida State, dominant player there.
Yep.
Played for the Ravens, gave the Patriots all kinds of fits. That 2014 divisional game against the Ravens, Timmy Jernigan was the problem in that game. He was number one. And now he's on the Eagles and he's their number two guy. He's
Fletcher.
Yeah, Fletcher Cox is far and away their best defensive tackle, and right next to him is a serious playmaker, Timmy Jernigan, who's never ever going to see the center. You know, the center is always going to go to Fletcher Cox's side.
Right.
Timmy Jernigan's just going to be playing against Joe Tooney all goddamn day.
And that could be rough.
It's a real problem. That's the worst matchup. On the outside, they also have Brandon Graham, who's a professional pass rusher, mm-hmm. and stuffs the run pretty well. Vinnie Curry's got great size. Derek Barnett, first round pick, endless motor. Chris Long, very similar, endless motor, all kinds of skills. Everybody remembers him. And then on top of that, you got Bo Allen and Viejo, who play a ton of meaningful snaps, particularly against the run.
Yep.
They keep fresh bodies on that defensive line, and they all seem to play at a really high level.
Yeah,
that's
the
problem.
That's definitely their key there. I mean, they haven't had a lot of sacks, which is surprising. They're only about 38 sacks on the year, which I think is...
That's a lot.
I mean, I expected more. I expected them to be up in the 50s, like with the top. But I mean, still, that it's really that. Yeah, they bring these guys in on third down. Everyone's fresh. You're not going to see as much of what happened to Jacksonville. I mean, maybe a little bit, but when Jacksonville was completely gassed and couldn't do anything in that game.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that with eight guys, you're going to be able to get those guys as tired.
Right, and that's really their biggest. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, that's the scariest part of this team.
Yeah,
that is the scary part of the team. You know, but there is, I mean, are they going to be able to, is Brady going to be able to get the ball out in 2 seconds? Is he, if he is, it's not going to be as much of a deal. They, in this, they don't have as much height, I feel like, as the guys who usually give Brady tough times. Like, you always bring up the Giants. Those guys were all like 6'4", 6'5", on that defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, not so much. Like, Fletcher Cox is not tall.
Jernigan's not short. Fletcher Cox is like 6'3".
He's like 6'2", but yeah.
He's listed at 6'4".
He's listed at 6'4"?
Yeah, Timmy Jernigan, 6'2". Vinny Curry's got good height. He's 6'4". Brandon Graham's short. He's like 6'1". Chris Long, 6'3", 6'4".
Mm-hmm.
Some of them, but not all of them.
Right. It's not as crazy as it has been, but yeah. It's really a matter of, can the offensive line hold up against them? And I think if you're chipping these guys and you go to the hurry up and make it so they can't sub as much and things like that, I think now I think it's manageable, but it's definitely going to be tough.
Yeah. That's definitely what they spent all of last week on.
Yeah.
I'm pretty convinced that Josh McDaniels has only been thinking about this defensive line.
Yeah. I mean, everyone talks about their front seven, but their linebackers really don't scare me at all.
No.
I don't know about you, but I mean, it's funny. We all keep talking about their front seven being unbelievable. It's really their front four that they rotate.
It is their front seven, but they're all defensive linemen. That's the worry.
Sure.
Yeah, they're the linebacker's not that good. Danelle Ellerbe is way over the hill.
Yeah,
he's only in there to stuff the run, and I doubt we're going to be playing in enough heavy formations that he's going to be on the field very much.
Mm-hmm.
Although we might want to do that just so he is on the field. That might be part of the game plan, at least in, like, you know, little packages.
Yeah.
The primary linebackers are Michael Kendricks, Nigel Bradham. Michael Kendricks is a freak athlete. He's like a 4-4 guy all over the field.
Mm-hmm.
Not nearly as disciplined and as intelligent as his younger brother, Eric Kendricks, who's a middle linebacker for the Vikings.
Yeah.
Kid got all the athleticism. The other one got all the brains. And the other inside linebacker is Nigel Bradham.
Mm-hmm.
Probably remember him from the Bills, right? Back when Jim Schwartz was a defensive coordinator for the Bills. Big. He was one of their linebackers. I was just watching him. He's never been the best player, but he's been serviceable. And I think he's slow. I don't know if he's hurt right now. I don't know what's up. But
I heard someone talking about the offensive line. Their defensive linebackers today, saying, you know, a CBS guy saying that they're really athletic.
Michael Kendricks is 100%.
Well, I guess they play Grugier Hill a lot, which is a familiar face for New England.
Yeah.
He's pretty athletic, but he's really small.
He's a safety.
Is he playing safety for them?
No, he plays linebacker.
Okay. But he's
220.
Yeah, he's small. Then you got Bradham, who he seems heavy-footed from what I've seen him play, and he's bigger too. He's like 240, 250 pounds.
Yeah, he's 240. He's not that big, but he's just not very agile. I think he's a liability in space.
And like you said, Michael Kendricks, I have heard about that. He's very athletic, but he can get caught out of position easily.
Yeah, for sure.
So
he's one of those classic linebackers who doesn't guard against the counter very well. Mm-hmm. You do a fake one side and then hand it off the other side. Michael Kendricks is tackling at the numbers on the wrong side of the field.
Right. So those guys don't really scare me.
No, nor should they. And I think you got to design something to get Nigel Bradham in a bad situation, whether that's Deion Lewis out in the flat, whether that's Gronkowski in space, mm-hmm. however you need to do it, that guy needs to be picked on.
Right. And it's doable.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we just said, you could use Michael Kendricks' athleticism against him. Now, on the back end, they do have some pretty good players. And on top of that, some of their mediocre players are playing much better than they ever have before.
Yeah.
I'm looking at you, Patrick Robinson. I think right now, Patrick Robinson was like a first or second round pick from the Saints. I remember watching him. He was fleet of foot, unbelievably athletic. And then he went to New Orleans, and like pretty much everybody down there just sucked and couldn't cover anybody. Lattimore beat that curse this year. But Patrick Robinson's playing better than he ever has, and he's on the wrong side of 30 now. I think. He's pretty old now. But I think he's probably their scariest corner right now. I think he's playing that well in the slot, and it doesn't bode well for Danny Amendola. Now, on the outside, they have another former Bill, Ronald Darby, and opposite him, Jalen Mills. Jalen Mills is in his second season.
Yep.
And he's playing much better this year than he did his rookie year. Yeah, Ronald Darby is still, he doesn't look very good to me either.
Oh, I don't think he looks very good at all. He's former Bill, right?
Yep.
Yeah, from what I've seen him play, I mean, even when they roasted, they beat the crap out of Minnesota, he was getting picked on early and often, and he couldn't do shit about it. And then finally, so much of what
they got going offensively, the Vikings did, was going after Darby, especially on comebacks.
And Brady used to go after him all the time.
Well, because Gilmore was on the other side.
True, yeah. Well, and he had Brady had much success, so, you know. Those three guys, if Patrick Robinson's that good, okay. I'm not really too familiar with them, but the other two guys, eh.
I think Robinson's playing the best of the three of them right now.
Yeah.
But I think Darby's playing the worst, so I would expect him to get the majority of the attention. I think they're going to find him, and like I said, Patrick Robinson's a slot guy. You're going to find him on the inside. Darby's going to be on the outside. He's a little bit undersized, and I think he gives too much of a cushion. So I expect a ton of stops right in front of him for both Hogan and Cook.
So what do you think? Mill's going to probably go on Cook's? Or do you think they're going to switch it up?
I don't think that they're going to follow him to start. But they might. I don't know. I haven't seen enough of the Eagles to know if they try to follow receivers. But
well, they're mostly a zone team, aren't they?
They are primarily a zone team, yeah.
Oh, good luck to them.
I know.
And then free safety, they got Rodney McLeod, who's decent.
So-so.
And then the big guy is Mike Jenkins.
Malcolm
Jenkins.
Younger brother of Mike Jenkins.
Are they really related?
Different Mike Jenkins, not the cornerback, the receiver.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Both went to Ohio State.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I've been going off about Malcolm Jenkins with you for years now.
Mm-hmm.
Suffice it to say, he's one of my favorite players in the league. He plays at all three levels of the defense. Dominant blitzer, good cover guy, plays the run really well.
Yep.
And he's a culture setter.
He is. He's a locker room guy.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
they have the weak spot on that defense is the linebacking.
Yeah.
It's the middle of the defense.
Well, it's the middle, it's the flats and the outside, really.
Yeah, I would say that the flats and the seam almost.
Which is pretty much what we do.
Yeah, that's where we live.
So, and the other thing looking at it, so if they're mostly zone, you got to figure they're mostly going to go to zone. I mean, they might try and man up on us and do that whole thing, which teams have tried to do with success, and
I expect them to do that.
Some can do it and some can't. I mean, there's some teams that just can't pull it off.
Yeah, well, Darby came out as a man coverage guy. Patrick Robinson's a man coverage guy.
Okay. So maybe they have the cojones for it, but who the hell is going to cover Gronk?
That's Malcolm Jenkins.
Really? He comes down on the tight ends?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Has he been doing... Has he been successful?
Somewhat. He's not Eric Berry.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
And no one's covered Gronk all year.
Yeah, well, is Gronk going to play?
I think so. He said he should get cleared within the next day or two.
Because we're recording this on Wednesday, and he was limited today as well and still remains in the protocol.
He said today that he thinks he's getting cleared tomorrow.
All right, good for him.
So
he's really putting the pressure on them doctors.
Yeah, I mean,
You better submit to my request.
He's going to fucking play. There is no way they're keeping him out of this.
Did you hear that? I read today that somebody slowed down the video of him right after he got hit, and he said, "I don't know where I am."
I heard about that.
I didn't see it, but if that's real, whoa, shit, that must have been some concussion.
Yeah, we've seen stuff like that before.
Yeah, I suppose.
We saw that with one of our friends in high school. Remember that, Smitty?
Oh, yeah.
He didn't know where the hell he was. He couldn't even talk. He got right back up. I think he was playing a couple plays later.
Oh, geez. Fun to laugh about. Back in the good old days.
Yeah, right? No, he might have stayed out that game, but still. I think Gronk's going to be fine.
Okay.
He seems to be fine. I mean, he's out there talking to the media, so... I mean, I don't know what their obligations are for talking to the media, but usually if they don't, if no one, someone's not going to play or whatever, they're usually not out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they usually keep that pretty tight-lipped. Obviously, they asked Belichick about it, and he said exactly what you would expect. But
yeah,
he
referred them to the doctors.
Yeah, it seems like Gronk should be fine.
Well, nobody has an answer for Gronk in the same way that nobody has an answer for Julio Jones.
Right.
You know, there's no answer. So that's going to be a big problem for them, and it's going to be at least partially Malcolm Jenkins. It's going to be partial double teams. It's going to be jamming at the line of scrimmage, which should help with the pass rush
mm-hmm.
somewhat if they decide to jam with a defensive lineman.
And then so you got that, and then their linebackers covering aren't very good. It seems like, I mean, they're athletic, but if they're going to be caught out of position, I mean, hi-ho James White and Deion Lewis. You know what I mean?
I think it's going to be flat plays to the running backs. I think it's going to be crossing plays against the zone behind the linebackers. I think we're going to get chunk yardage that way, and I think we're going to have comebacks on the outside.
Those deep comebacks that Cooks was doing last week that seemed to be his play.
Yeah, finally. Because if they're going to go zone, that's going to be there. Because he's going to force them to play deep on him.
Well, even if they play man against him, they give him such a big friggin' cushion.
Yeah, or he could beat him deep.
Or he could beat him deep. So
yeah, Cooks is a problem for them.
Hogan, if he can show up, I mean, he hasn't done much since his injury. That'd be huge. And then you got good old playoff Danny in there. Even if, what's his name? Peterson. Is it Peterson?
Robinson.
Even if Robinson is doing well against them or doing well this season, Danny has a knack for getting open.
Yeah, for sure.
At least a little bit.
Robinson's a shutdown player. Yeah. I'm just saying he's playing the best of their cornerback group right now. And that's not all just because he had a pick six in the last game.
Mm-hmm.
He's been all over the field. And whole thing boils down to protection, really. Yeah. This team, the Eagles, this is a little bit misleading that they were number one in.
Really?
Yeah, they led in every goddamn game. True. They were like 10-1.
They've only got four sacks in the playoffs. That's in two games.
Yeah.
A little surprising. Another nice little stat for you. Bill Belichick is 15-0 in playoff games that hasn't played the same opponent in the regular season already.
I know. Isn't that some sort of factoid?
15-0. Yeah, like someone said that on a radio show today. A caller was like, it could either be the best stat of all time or mean absolutely nothing and be a huge coincidence. But 15-0 is insane. I mean, and people were trying to make sense of it. And the only thing I can think of is, well, when it's your first time against Belichick's first time, he's going to find your weakness. And you're not going to find his.
Let's put it a different way. This is the 8th Super Bowl for Belichick with the Patriots, right?
Yep.
They've gone 5-2 previously. Mm-hmm. All five of those wins came against teams they did not play in the regular season, and the both Giants. Of those losses came against teams they played in the regular season that season.
And won.
Yeah.
They beat the Giants both of those seasons, and the Giants beat them on the second time. So, yeah. I know I am, you know, for a Super Bowl, I'm usually pretty nervous. I mean, last year we played the Falcons. They're super high-powered offense. I'm sure I didn't allude to it much. I said their defense was trash, but they had such a high-powered offense, it was ridiculous. 2 years before was Seattle, where it was just like, oh, my God, how are we going to win that game? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now it's just the Eagles. If they had Carson Wentz, obviously this would be a completely different game, and I would feel much more nervous about it. But because it's Foles, I mean, when push comes to shove, you know there's going to be a couple plays in this game that are going to be ridiculous, and they're going to it's going to come down to those plays and stuff like that. And I don't think Foles can make those plays, and I haven't seen enough of this defense. But are they going to be able to make these plays? I mean, some of these guys, maybe if it's you know, Jenkins out there that it comes down to or something like that. But you know, I don't see it. I just don't see it. Them winning with a rookie or a backup.
I think I felt more confident last year than I do this year. I think so.
I
was like, the difference between our offense and their defense last year was so gargantuan. At least that's what I was thinking.
Right.
Between the Patriots offense and the Falcons defense, I thought that was just this massive gap that there's just no way they're going to be able to stop us.
Right. But I mean, also comes back to, I mean, what happened to that defense? They got exhausted. What happened to Jacksonville's defense? They got exhausted. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't look really past that. I know these guys do, especially their front four guys or front seven, whatever you want to call it. They do a lot of substitution and stuff like that, which will keep them fresh. But, I mean, if that secondary is exhausted back there and we're down at all, you know, good luck to you, especially if they're not used to manning up, and now that tires them out, because that's a much more tiring way to play defense, especially for cornerbacks and safeties. They might be gassed by the fourth quarter again, and no one really brings that up, but that's a huge factor, that our offensive weapon keeps chugging along. 5 minutes left, they're fresh and ready to go, and these defenses they're playing that are top notch are just can't even catch a breath.
Mm-hmm.
They're keeling over on the field. And I can see that happening again if it comes down to a situation where it's still close. And you know the Patriots, even if they have a lead, they're not going to let up. They're going to keep going and going because they've – I mean, we haven't had a lead in a fucking Super Bowl in years. The last two, we haven't had a lead until until the last minute or not even.
I know, right?
So wouldn't it be nice to just be up by like 7 and then just like be up by 7 or 10 the whole game? And yeah, the Eagles try and fight back, but we just kind of fend them off and we're just up. I don't need to be in a blowout. I'd love it to be a nice game and a good game, but just to have like a cushion of a lead would be amazing.
Kind of like the last time the Patriots played the Eagles in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Yeah. When they're
just like that.
When they're the ones puking on the field. Remember that?
Oh, I remember.
Good old Donovan.
Oh, McNabb.
They're like, oh, he's got one drive. He's got a. All they need to do is to tie it is get us the field goal, and he pukes. It's like, I don't think he's going to pull it off.
He lost his lunch.
Yeah,
that was a fun one. Some of the other things about special teams.
Yeah.
Look, it's a Super Bowl. Everything comes into play.
They have Patriots rough special teams.
They have what?
Rough special teams.
They're like middle of the pack. They're okay.
Don't they have a lot of fumbles on special teams or something?
It was pretty sloppy. Their punt return and their punt coverage in the Vikings game. They had a penalty for contacting the punt returner on the Vikings, and then I can't remember if it was the Falcons game or the Vikings game, but they fumbled a punt.
Mm-hmm.
Kenyon Barner is their returner. He's a good player. He's not quite Darren Sproles, but he's a step down. He's just fine. Their kicker got hurt in preseason, I think. I was looking it up. I think he had like a strained quadricep or something.
Okay.
Like a strain, and he went on the IR. Like, it's going to take 4 months to come back from a strain.
Really?
Yeah, but they signed this kid, or they drafted a kid, Jake Elliott, last year, and he's played pretty good. He's good. Okay. He's not great. But yeah, the Patriots have one of the best special teams units in the NFL.
I mean, that could be a big difference.
It's a clear advantage. Yeah, and Gostkowski has played in how many Super Bowls now? He's played in, like, this is his fifth Super Bowl.
Is it his fifth?
It's his fifth.
Yeah, wow.
It's his fifth Super Bowl. Our kicker. Their guy's a rookie.
Yeah, so.
It's like, that's substantial right there.
Oh, that's huge. He's going to be shitting bricks. Whether he makes the kicks or not, he's going to be nervous.
Oh, my God.
I heard someone say, I think it was on Felger and Maz or something, you know, Felger sitting there going, you know, when push comes to shove, as good as this Eagles team is, you know they're at some point in this game, and I think he's right, they're going to take a steaming shit in their pants at some point. Something is going to go horribly wrong for them, and they're going to make a terrible decision or something, and you go, well, look at there you go. And that's bound to happen. And I'd love to see some turnovers on our end. We haven't had any turnovers.
We have not been taking the ball away. This is a team. Everyone's gone over the backup quarterback. This is a coach who's in his second season.
He's done really well for his second season.
He's done incredibly well. Yeah, he deserves all the props in the world. And for some reason, wasn't getting that much hype for coach of the year.
I know.
God dang, he's done pretty fucking well. And the thing that the Eagles team has a ton of chemistry, as was evidenced last week against the Vikings. But it's one thing to have team chemistry when you're winning. It's a whole other thing when you're losing. And this team, as previously mentioned, has not been trailing much at all this season.
That's a good point. As you were just starting to say that, I knew where you were going, and I was like, that is a hell of a point.
That's exactly it. And the Patriots just went through hellfire last week against the Jaguars, being down 10 points in the fourth quarter and driving all the way back. And they know that this team has done it multiple times before that.
Oh, yeah.
So they have. If the Patriots get down, they'll still have all the confidence in the world. If the Eagles get down, it's like, are the wheels going to fall off?
Right, they don't know what's going to happen.
Because they haven't been tested, so we don't know. And they don't know either.
They only had, what, two losses this season?
Can we do this? Three losses.
Three losses.
Yeah, but the last week of the season, they had nothing to play for against the Cowboys. I don't think Foles even played.
I didn't even know they had another quarterback, but they must.
Well, they had to sign a backup after they put Wentz on IR. They need to have two quarterbacks at least. The other thing that really scared me was at the end of after the Eagles-Vikings game, they interviewed Nick Foles on the field, and he goes, like, the first thing out of his mouth was, well, I got to give all the credit in the world to God, like, Jesus Christ is my savior.
Yeah.
And he said that, and I was like, oh, shit, this kid isn't going to feel the pressure. He's going to just put it off, and he's going to be like, Jesus, guide this pass.
Yeah, right.
And he's going to feel okay about it. And I'm not trying to make fun of him. I'm just saying that he has he has faith. He's got a belief.
Yeah.
He doesn't think it's just him out there and he has to be perfect.
Right.
He thinks that there's something out there helping him.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
That gives him confidence and comfort. And I don't think he's going to be scared. And that scares me.
Yeah, that's definitely a true point. You want to hear, this is kind of crazy. I just saw that Kansas City, their first two wins came against New England and then Philly. How do you think they're feeling about themselves right now?
Well, they just shipped their quarterback out of town. Probably too hot.
That is crazy that they beat the two people in the Super Bowl week 1 and 2, and they couldn't even sniff a playoff win. Unbelievable. But
pretty rough. Yeah,
have you been watching the Brady?
I watched the first episode.
Time.
I'm ready to cram the rest of the episodes.
I like.
How is it?
I think they're pretty great. There was one. I didn't see the newest one, but the last one before it was Brady watching film. That was great. He just sits there and watches the first second of the play over and over and over. I don't know how dramatized it is, but I feel like that's kind of what he does. He just sits and then, you know, once again, everyone's looking for the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. What's their secret? What's their secret? Tom Brady sitting there. I love watching film. I could watch film all day. I watch it about 5 hours a day. And it's like, Bill Belichick, what does he love doing? He loves watching film. And for all these people saying that there is a rift or whatever, maybe there is, maybe there isn't. But you can't take away that those two guys love to watch film. And I bet they just love sitting there together watching film. They're probably this is great.
Or not together.
Or not together. But, you know, if two people love watching film so much, they probably do it together and just pick things apart.
I doubt it. I doubt they watch it together. I bet they both like having the remote. They both like looking through it, and then they like sitting down and quizzing each other and going, did you see this? And they go, poof, of course I saw that. Did you see this?
Maybe.
They go, Ed Reed is fucking crazy.
And however they do it.
Go off.
It's the fact that they both love watching film. They both love reading into it and deciphering it, and they're two of the best. I mean,
they like to work. They're workers, and people don't seem to understand that when they work that much, there are results that come along with that.
Right.
And they want to poke holes in it and say that it's cheating and it's this and it's that. This is another one of those weeks where we saw it last year, too, where just Patriots make it to the Super Bowl and all the cheating allegations keep coming out.
Oh, it's unbelievable, isn't it? And there's not even anything this year.
There were like five people from the Rams who are still talking about a fake article in a second-rate newspaper that was apologized for.
Like,
you didn't see any of this?
No.
Oh, remember the there was a story in the Boston Herald. I love that. I had to shit on a paper for no reason. They said that the Patriots taped a walkthrough practice of the Rams before the 2001 Super Bowl.
Oh.
And
that.
Then that one. And then they came out pretty quickly afterwards and had to give a formal apology saying it was all false and none of it was corroborated and everything. And the Rams players seem to see the first article and not the second one. And but then when it's brought to their attention that, you know, they had to apologize for this whole thing and it probably never happened. Or, you know, there's no evidence. More accurately, there's no evidence of it ever happening. And the Rams go, well, it seemed like they knew all our plays. Obviously, it happened. It's like, maybe they just fucking studied your team.
Yeah, maybe they just watched film on you all fucking year and you guys had such big egos that you didn't change the game plan for an underdog.
Yeah, maybe you had tendencies, huh? You think that's possible? You think everyone has tendencies? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
And maybe they found them and figured out how to exploit them. But no, it's all about some walkthrough that they taped and that's the reason that they beat the much better team was a walkthrough?
I know,
get
exactly.
The fuck out
what
of
are you
here.
Even what are you even showing during a walkthrough?
Yeah.
Nothing. A formation?
They know all your formations. Yeah. They got every fucking play you've run all season.
Exactly. That's all nonsense. But yeah, it's just crazy how all those things come out and everyone's, oh, they're doing it. The refs are on their side. All kinds of shit. And it's just like, you know.
Steve Spagnuolo was my favorite this week. He was the defensive line coach or something for the Eagles in the 2004 Super Bowl. And he said that during the game, Jim Johnson, the defensive coordinator at the time, was saying, they know our signals. They're getting our plays. And Spagnuolo is like, well, I don't know what to say about that, but Brady was getting the ball off within 2 seconds every time we sent pressure, so you know he must have had our plays. It's like maybe he read your pressures, maybe he figured out when you were blitzing, maybe there wasn't somebody in his headset telling him that I read their signals
to videotape someone's signals at the time.
No, it wasn't. I'm not even sure if it still is.
It wasn't. You just couldn't do it from the stands.
Yeah, they bring up that Spygate thing again, and it's they didn't get in trouble for filming their signals. They got in trouble for filming it from the area that wasn't permitted for filming signals. Right. It was about where the camera was, not what it was pointed at. But the Spagnuolo thing just drove me. Jim Johnson, their defense coordinator at the time, I knew this. I was like 15, and I was watching these games. Jim Johnson was known for blitzing. He was a blitzer.
All he did was blitz.
There's some defensive coordinators that are known for that shit.
Yeah,
he was known for blitzing, and like Brady was figuring out when they were blitzing. You blitz all the fucking time.
Literally, that's what Jim Johnson's defense was known for. You're 100% right.
That was it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
so unbelievable.
That's the weight of the crown, you know. Man.
Oh, and if we win this week, you're sure as shit gonna hear some other shit come out. Guaranteed.
There's gonna be some scandal.
But I think we're gonna win.
I think so too. But I'm just so worried about because the normal thing to do is get the defensive line tired, and they just got so many guys, and that's what scares me.
I mean, Brady, look at last week. They don't have a better defensive line than the Jaguars. They have more depth.
More depth, yeah, but they can't put together a four-man line that's better.
I don't even think it's close.
Dude, Timmy Jernigan and Fletcher Cox are outstanding. Fletcher Cox.
Better than Calais Campbell and what's his name? Darius?
Oh, yeah. Fletcher Cox is like just nose to nose with Calais Campbell. And Timmy Jernigan is a much better penetrator than Darius is.
Okay.
But yeah, when you can
Fowler. What about what's his name too? The guy that came over from Denver for Jacksonville. Malik Jackson.
No, Malik Jackson's great, yeah. Yeah, he and Timmy Jernigan are actually pretty close.
So there you go.
Different
they had
styles,
Malik Jensen, Jackson and Calais Campbell on the field, and those two guys are both taller. And Brady against the pressure really wasn't the main issue last week.
No, nobody was getting open in the first half.
Right. So, and they have the Jacksonville Jaguars had a much better secondary.
Oh, definitely. So much better.
I mean, you look at it, it's like, okay, they do have the depth. They can go toe-to-toe for four quarters, most likely. But for the product right up front, I mean, Brady had time. I don't think time was the issue last week. They couldn't generate that pressure. I mean, and I can't see the Eagles generating more pressure than Jacksonville in the first three quarters.
The way that Jacksonville is able to take Deion Lewis out of the game, I don't know if that's a possibility for the Eagles.
Right. So, I mean, that's my thinking. I mean, and at that point, we'll probably be up in the fourth quarter and hopefully won't need to come back from a 10-point deficit.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think we're good. I think the stars are aligning here.
Do you have a prediction in this game?
Ooh. I'm going to go 24-17.
I'm going to go 23-14.
Okay. I thought you said it was going to be within three.
I know, but you talked me out of it, man.
Just with that last comment?
I don't know. Maybe, I think it'll probably be like a 4-point game, but I can't make the math work right now. But I think that the Eagles are going to go for it on fourth down in the red zone. And so I don't think they're going to have many field goals, but I think that they're going to shut us down a little bit in the red zone. So I think we'll have a bunch of field goals.
If Foles is going to be either on or not, and the chances of him not being on are greater than him being on. And if he's not playing well, I don't think they have any chance in the world at this game. If he's playing great, I think it's within three, but we still win.
Okay. I think Look at the
quarterbacks we've played in the Super Bowls.
Yeah.
I mean, we had better defenses, absolutely, like 2016. We played Matt Ryan, who was the reigning MVP, and Russell Wilson, who has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
Now
Eli Manning, Donovan McNabb, DeLome.
Good old Nick Foles comes off the bench.
Dude, you are simplifying the greatest team game to one player.
Past it. I know. I keep, they have great defense, great offensive line, good receivers. Put Brady on that team, they'd be unbelievable. They'd be, Carson Wentz on that team, they're a completely different game. I can't look past Nick Foles. I can't take him seriously. But
Matt Patricia has to make him uncomfortable early.
Yeah, they got to get pressure on him early and play tight coverage, which is...
Yeah, it doesn't have to continue, just early. I just want him tweaked just a little bit at the beginning of the game just to make him go, huh?
Yeah, and I wish we could look into further stats to see what their second half production is, because we do know that if whatever you say about the Patriots, they are probably, not even probably, they are the best second half team in the league with adjustments and taking over games. I'd like to see what Philly does in the second half, but, you know.
Yeah, they're not, we didn't even mention that this is going to be the last game, more than likely, for Belichick, Patricia, and McDaniels all together.
Yeah.
Is it a very, how it's so weird how these things come cyclically.
Yeah, right.
2004 Super Bowl, last game for Romeo Crennel, Charlie Weiss, Belichick.
Against
13 years later against
the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. Eagles.
13 years later, the exact same situation.
That's another thing. It's like all coming, it's all coming together. Like this was meant to happen. They have to. They're supposed to win.
But they were supposed to win in 2007, and we saw how that happened.
Yeah, but that was going for the perfect season and everything, you know, all that stuff. That was a lot of weight on them. This is not as much weight. They just won the Super Bowl. If they lose now, you know, it would be devastating, obviously, but I don't feel like as devastating. Brady's done everything he needs to. Now he'll go 5-3 in the Super Bowls, which isn't as good of a record compared to 6-2. But I just don't feel like this is, you know, for a team to come in here and knock off all the momentum the Patriots have and everything and be able to shut down Gronk and all the offensive power, this team has to be lights out. I just don't feel they are.
I changed my mind. 24-20. Your confidence is backfiring on me.
Well, whatever. Good. Fine. I think we're good. I mean, Minnesota laid an egg.
Yeah, they did.
And
they totally crumbled.
They crumbled.
When they fell behind, they crumbled.
That's a good point. I mean, and you looked at that Atlanta game. Atlanta blew it.
Oh, yeah. Atlanta had that game.
Blew it. And I'd say Atlanta is a very similar team to us, just a little shakier.
They want to be like us.
And they're built to be like us. I mean, they have guys in the front office that design their teams after us. They're like us. They're just like not as grounded foundation. They're a little shakier. They're a little wobbly up front.
They're figuring it out.
They're figuring out, but they, you know, and they should have won that game.
Undoubtedly, they should have won that game.
So
that's really the most adversity the Eagles have faced all season.
Yeah, and they
were bailed out by Julio Jones slipping.
Yeah.
And a terrible play call.
Plethora of other plays, yeah, on that whole fucking drive.
The Falcons at the end of the first half taking the interception off the knee.
Yeah.
Kneeing it directly to Torrey Smith that ends up in points. Yeah, mm-hmm. So... which ended up being the difference in the game because they had to go for it on fourth down and goal. Yeah, I don't share your confidence. I felt that confident last year and it didn't turn out very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna thoroughly enjoy it, but I will be nervous.
Yeah, that's fine.
This is the thing.
These things
don't come around all the time. We're conditioned to think that it's February. The Patriots still gonna be playing.
We're gonna win.
This could be the last time. This could be the last time they show up in the Super Bowl.
Maybe.
So, whew, enjoy it, folks.
Absolutely. I'll enjoy it.
I'm going to enjoy it, too. I'm going to be shitting my pants, though. Okay, on that note, thank you guys for tuning in. Good luck with your Super Bowl parties this weekend. I hope you don't have the same accident that I have in my pants.
Yep, get some good food. Don't fucking talk about the commercials too much because they're fucking commercials, and then watch the game.
And don't watch the game with people who are more interested in the commercials than the game.
Because that's a
they
lot
talk
of people.
During
I mean, that
the
you
game
can really
and they
can.
Shut up during the commercials. You can avoid those people.
Those are tough to avoid.
It is incumbent upon you to avoid those people. Protect your Super Bowl viewing pleasure. Protect it. Honor it.
It's tough to avoid, but yeah, I'd say try and do without.
Stop protecting those people.
No, I'm just saying there's a lot of them.
Yeah, and you don't have to watch it with them. They can watch it with people like them.
Okay.
You watch it with people like you.
All right.
You got it?
I got it. Okay.